Okay, well, praise God. Title of the message this evening is Welcome to the Kingdom of God. Welcome to the Kingdom of God. I want to remind us this evening about whose we are. In this hour that we live in, I think it can be easy to listen to the news or listen to that and just start getting sucked into all these different things. And yes, there are very real issues. And we are to be about our Father's business. We are His hands and we are His feet. We're not to sit idly by in this hour. But I think it's important that we know who we are. Otherwise, we may find ourselves flailing around, perhaps even going against God's heart. I want to remind us tonight about the kingdom of God. You see, there's a kingdom and there's a king. And as believers, we are citizens of that kingdom. And I want to say strongly that first and foremost, we are called to be citizens of heaven. Our earthly bodies may be citizens of the United States, but spiritually, we are citizens of heaven. And that heavenly citizenship needs to pervade our earthly citizenship. If our dedication to an earthly flag exalts itself over our heavenly citizenship, then we are living dangerously. I'm not saying we can't vote. I'm not saying that there's not a place for submitting to some of the leadership, earthly leadership that God has placed in our lives. But at the end of the day, we answer to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes, the King of Kings. There is a King who is above every earthly king. Some may not like this message, but that's too bad. I'm going to read a couple passages here in regards to our citizenship. The first one is in Philippians chapter 3, 18 through 20. Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. It says, "For many live, about whom I have told you, and now with tears I tell you that they are enemies of the cross of Christ." Enemies of the cross of Christ. There are people living as enemies in resistance to the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and they exult in their shame, and they think about earthly things. So we have these who are living in opposition to the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ is one of what? Laying down our lives. It says on the other side of that, their end is destruction. Their God is the belly. Just the fleshly appetites. And that might be food, but it can be many other things. just these fleshly appetites, giving ourselves over to fleshly appetites rather than the kingdom of God, rather than laying down our lives, picking up our cross, and following after Christ. It says their God is their belly, just their God is just whatever their flesh wants. Whatever their flesh feels like doing, they just do. And that means their God is their flesh. And they exult in their shame, in the shameful things they revel in and exult. And they think about earthly things. Their minds are just filled with earthly things. What's the next pleasure I can have? What's the next thing I can do? But, verse 20, it says, but our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we also eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens of heaven. As believers, we are to submit to the King of Kings. We are not to be living after our fleshly appetites. It's not to say that we can't ever have a nice meal or something like that. Pleasure itself is not evil, but pleasure must be submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ, the rule and the reign of Christ in our lives. And if we are simply living for pleasure, simply living for the earthly things, then we're living on dangerous ground. All right, the second verse or passage that I would like to read is in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. It says, and although you were dead in your offenses and sins, in which you formerly lived according to the world's present path, according to the ruler of the domain of the air, the ruler of the spirit that is now energizing the sons of disobedience. There is a spirit. What spirit is energizing us? Is it a spirit that is energizing us to deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow after Christ, lay down our lives for others? Or is it a spirit that is energizing us to simply fill our own fleshly appetites? It says, so the spirit that is now energizing the sons of disobedience, among whom all of us also formerly lived out our lives in the cravings of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Today's day and age, we don't really like to talk too much about the children of wrath, those that God's wrath is upon. Say, oh, God doesn't get angry. Oh, when we live after our own earthly, fleshly desires, and that is all we have. When we indulge in our fleshly desires and live contrary to God's ways and God's heart, it breaks God's heart. It stomps upon other people. And it breaks God's heart. Verse 4 says, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even though we were dead in offenses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And he raised us up together with him and seated us together with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus to demonstrate in the coming ages the surpassing wealth of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. He seated us in heavenly realms. Once again, our citizenship is in heaven. We've got to lay aside our earthly things and pursue Christ. Follow after Him. That we would not live as enemies to the cross. That we wouldn't live in opposition to the cross. There's this opposition. The flesh is in opposition to the cross. The flesh simply says, how can I get my own needs met? How can I partake of pleasures for myself? How can I, you name the list, on and on and on. But the cross says, no, I will lay down my desires. I will lay down my life, and I will pick up my cross, and I will follow after Christ. I will follow where He leads. The cross is not real popular because the cross is painful to the flesh. There's resistance. There is fleshly resistance to the cross. There is life in the Spirit, and that life in the Spirit far outweighs the cost of the cross. To know Christ surpasses it all. But there is a cost. To follow after Christ, there is a cost. It will cost you some things. And that cost will look different for each one of us in our individual giftings and callings. But there is a cost. If your following after Christ has no cost to it, then you better question whether you're following after Christ or if you're simply following after your own fleshly desires. So, as believers, our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens of heaven. We serve above every other king. There is a king, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, and He is the one that we kneel to. And so again, I want to pull us back for a moment and let us not be so quick to start running so hard after this political party or that political party or this group or that group or whatever. And again, I'm not saying we can't vote and we can't do different civic duty things. But in the midst of all of that, let's back up for a moment and be reminded who we are. We are citizens of heaven. Your citizenship is in heaven and your king is King Jesus. If King Jesus is not your king, then you are not part of the kingdom of God. Because every kingdom has a king, and the kingdom of God is Christ Jesus. So let's talk about this king a little bit. Who is this king? Oh my goodness, we could spend all of eternity describing Jesus. I mean, there's He is beyond understanding in our own minds, in our fleshly minds. Our fleshly minds cannot comprehend this one. And there's so many aspects to Jesus that we could talk about. But in relation to this message, I just felt like that I was just supposed to read this one verse. And it's Revelations chapter 5, verse 6. Revelations chapter 5, verse 6. It says, "Then I saw standing in the middle of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the middle of the elders, a lamb that appeared to have been killed. He had seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth." And there's a lot in that verse that we're not going to get into. But I just want to highlight this one point. There's one in the midst of the throne. What? The throne is that from which God reigns or rules. And what is this one? this Lamb of God, this King of Kings, it's as a lamb that has been killed. I mean, I don't know about you, but if you're going to serve a king, are you going to choose a king who is like a lamb who has been killed? What? But again, we come back to this whole thing of the cross of Christ. Our king is one who laid down his very life to do his Father's will. And that's what we are to be about. We are to be laying down our lives to do our Father's will. Now, that may or may not cost us our physical life, as far as dying physically. Many people have lost their physical lives. Many people are losing their physical lives, and many more will. And it may come to that for our own lives. But whether or not it comes to this, you know, physical life and death decision, every day we are called to die to our fleshly desires and follow after Christ. Let's read Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 26. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26. And Jesus is speaking, and it says, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone,'" okay, so pause for a moment, "'if anyone,'" I guess that pretty much covers us all, right? That doesn't exclude anyone. Anyone means anyone. It says, "If anyone wants to become my follower," if you want to follow Christ, "then what? He must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." This is so interesting. If you want to follow him, I'm going to skip to the section there where it says, "take up his cross daily." So this is something, what we're talking about is daily. It's every single day. This isn't a one-time, "oh, yep, I gave my life to Christ back in whatever year." No, this is every day. This is a lifestyle. This is, I wake up in the morning, and who is my king? My king is King Jesus. Where is he leading me today? What is he about today? What am I to be doing today? And so what does it say? That verse again, it says, he must deny himself. So there it is. The very first step, if you want to follow Christ today, if you want to follow Christ today, the first step is you got to deny yourself. You got to say, you know what? I've got these fleshly desires for all these different things, and I have to set them aside. And, you know, again, some of those desires may get met, they may not. But regardless of whether they do or not, they need to be set aside and say, okay, flesh, you're not king today. So we deny ourselves, and then we take up our cross, that instrument of death, as it were. Putting to death the ways of this world. And then what? Follow him. Follow after him. Where is he going? What is he doing? What is the Holy Spirit leading you today to do? It goes on, it says, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me will save it. For what does it benefit a person if he gains the whole world but loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he comes in his glory and then the glory of the Father and the holy angels." You know, what benefit does it? What benefit is it? I mean, how many earthly desires have we tried to fill? I'm hungry for this, so I'm going to eat this. And I'm want to do this, so I'm going to do this. And we do that, but it doesn't really fulfill anyways. Satisfies that desire for a moment, but it doesn't really satisfy our desire. Oh, that we would know Him. The surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. Honestly, I don't even really want to get the focus on ourselves, but I will say some of the most pleasurable and fulfilling times of my life have been doing some things that my flesh did not find pleasurable and did not find enjoyable. But you see, we are citizens of heaven. We need to get in touch with the spirit man, with who we really are, and lay aside these fleshly things that just squelch the spirit. Again, I want to reiterate, pleasure itself is not evil. Scripture even says, God's given food, marriage, various things, and there's aspects of pleasure in some of those things, and it's good, and it's not to be resisted. It's not like we just go to see how hard we can make our lives. That's not the point. The point is following Christ. See, that's the whole point. We deny ourselves. We take ourselves off the throne. We take up our cross every day. We put ourselves to death, as it were. And then we follow Him. If all we do is deny ourselves, say, okay, I'm going to deny every desire I have. I'm going to just be a miserable person all my life. Well, no. We got to get to the main point. That the laying aside of one simply makes room to follow Christ. Jesus came to some of His disciples and said, hey, you want to follow Me? All right. Leave your nets. Leave your business. Leave the things that you know and come and follow Me. It wasn't that fishing was evil. It was just for those people, those specific people that Jesus called, that in order to do what God was calling them to do, they needed to lay aside their fishing business. That doesn't mean everybody had to leave their fishing business. There was one person that Jesus cast out some demons from. And then the guy's like, oh, I want to follow You, Jesus. And what did Jesus tell him? Jesus said, no, you turn around and you go back to your village. You proclaim what I did. And so for him, it wasn't leaving everything he knew. For him, it was staying where he was at and proclaiming the works of God. For each one of us, it's a unique gifting and calling. But there is a cost. But oh, it's so worth it. I mean, I can testify from my own life, time and time again. Over the years, God has had me do some things that in the natural seem a little crazy. He's had me lay aside some different things over the years. And quite honestly, it's been hard at times. I mean, there's times where God asks things of me and I'm like, God, I don't want to. And what I'm really saying is in my spirit, I want to. This is what I've learned. Even those times when I didn't think I wanted to, that was my flesh. My flesh did not want to, but oh, my spirit so longed to. See, we've got to get in touch with this reality that we are citizens of heaven. And when we do, everything radically changes. The flesh, yeah, it'll kick, it'll scream, it'll be like, I don't want to. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. But we got to just say, stuff it. You know, shut up, flesh. You're not in charge because I am a citizen of heaven and I'm not going to live after this world. Let me tell you, there is nothing. There is nothing that surpasses. There's nothing that is better than knowing Christ. To know Him, that's life. To not know Him, that's death. We were created to know Him. And He is good, and He's merciful, and He's compassionate. Oh, along this journey, how many times we see it in Scripture, and I've seen it in my own life. How many times have I fallen, messed up, turned around and started living after the flesh in some areas? But oh, how God is faithful to woo us back, draw us back. No, follow after me, David. Follow after me. And so that's what I want to proclaim over us today. Follow after Him. I'm asking you, don't get distracted with all the news. The news is just pouring out all kinds of things, and especially with social media. I mean, you can find whatever suits you. This is what I find. People get on social media. They find something that they just agree with. They're like, oh yeah, I think that's probably true. And they don't even take time to see if the facts are true or anything about it. And they just be like, yeah, I think that's, you know, I agree with that. So I'll send that off. And we have this mass flooding of all these things. Some of it's true. Some of it's not. Some of it's focused on this and focused on that. And at the end of the day, we can get so busy just consuming stuff that we forget that we are simply to be releasing Christ through us. We can be aware of what's going on in our society, and we should be to a degree. I mean, there's hurt, there's need, there are those who have been oppressed. Jesus came to set the captives free. Proclaim liberty. He came for the poor and the needy. Are we about His business? Or are we so consumed with getting our own needs met? And I'm proclaiming this, not to, you know, it's easy, whichever group we find ourselves in. It's easy to immediately be like, oh yeah, that other group, they obviously are concerned about their own stuff and not everybody else. Oh, stop looking at others. It's dangerous, very dangerous to start looking at everybody else. Let's allow God to examine our own heart. Scripture says, don't get so caught up in taking care of the little splinter in somebody else's eye when you got a freaking 2x4 sticking out of yours. You know, that big old 2x4 is pride. We can't help anybody with their little sin or their little falling short if we've got a freaking 12-foot 2x4 of pride sticking out of our face. Father, would You help us to humble ourselves before You? Acknowledge our need for You. And then release Your healing and Your forgiveness and Your mercy and Your truth and Your instruction as You lead. There's a lot more we could talk about the kingdom. But I think this kind of sums it up for now. And really, it does sum it all up. As believers, we are citizens of heaven, and we are to follow after the King. Say, well, what does that look like, David? Well, what does that look like, I will ask. For each of us, that's going to look unique. But it will require denying ourselves, laying aside our fleshly desires, so that they are no longer king, so that they are no longer ruling over us, and say, I'm going to set that aside. I'm going to make space. And then I'm going to follow Christ daily. Remember that? That's an important word there in that Luke 9 chapter that we read. Daily. This is not a one-time thing. Oh, yep, back in so-and-so, I gave my life to Christ. Well, if you gave your life to Christ back then, give your life to Christ today. Give your life to Christ tomorrow. Your life is not your own. It's been bought with the precious blood of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who humbled himself, laid down his life. And though he was worthy of honor, he humbled himself, and he became servant of all. Yes, even to his enemies, those who were doing him wrong. I don't know who you look around and say is doing you wrong. I mean, I find so many groups, and many times it's one group against another group, but that same group that is against thinks that the other group's against them. And it's like everybody's looking and seeing who's against them. What if we all just started being for each other? Ultimately, though, for the Lord. Because again, we got to be careful. Jesus didn't come to just do what everybody wanted. There were many times in Scripture where Jesus didn't do what the people wanted. He did what his Father asked him to do. And so don't even get your focus so much on other people. Get your focus on your Heavenly Father. Get your focus on our Heavenly King. And He will lead you and He will direct you to the people that He has called you to. So I think I will finish up here with simply crying out, Father, let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, thank you for reminding us that we are citizens of heaven, that above any earthly flag, above any earthly kingdom, we answer to you. You are our King, and there is none other. Every knee must bow, and every tongue confess that you are Lord. Father, help us today and every day to daily lay aside our fleshly desires and to follow after you. Amen.